for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2015 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, November the 28th, 2015. Randy Ritchie is the speaker of the evening, teaching on Rock and Roll and the Mystery Cults.
How many of you know you can't get too healed and you can't get too delivered?
Amen.
Amen? Amen. One of the things that struck me when I first learned that, and actually the first people I learned about generational curses and breaking soul ties and those kind of things before I learned about casting out demons. Okay? And they actually helped change my life. Just breaking the legal rights of the enemy and renouncing some things and doing things, it was a great beginning. And then one time this little lady, old lady, she was an older lady. I said, oh, she's in her 90s, so that's old unless you're 90. Or 85. Praise the Lord. This little lady told us about a ministry in Lufkin, Texas. And it was an Assembly of God church. And she said, I've been through some of those deliverance services, but this one was different. And we set an appointment and went there at an Assembly of God church. And you set an appointment. You walked in a back room. And this little old man, little lady are in there. And first thing she said, hold on a minute, son. And he said, open the back door. And he says, now get out of here in the name of Jesus. And he was sweeping the room clean of who had been there before. Amen. And then he began to lead us through the deliverance. And he actually took us through a little book that's over there. We've got it here, and it's by a man named Frank Marzullo that's passed away now. His son, Frank Marzullo Jr., is still out and about the Father's business, friends of ours, and they minister here, they have. Great people. Love the Lord. But this book is Breaking the Curses of Deuteronomy 27 and 29. And it's sort of like what we did with Jerry last night. Her book is similar, Clearing the Land. But what happened is they took us through that book. And this old man would take us through it. They took us through individually. And then a woman was there from my wife. And as they took us through, but what happened? This man stops in the middle of ministering to me. And he puts his head down. And he says, hold on a minute, son. The Lord's dealing with me. And it struck me then, and I knew that's the way. See, that's the way. So even though he was the minister and I was the one being ministered to, as the Lord ministered to him, he wasn't embarrassed in front of me. Amen? Huh? Okay? And so I've never seen a minister here that wouldn't get up here willing to be delivered as the Lord is using them to help deliver others. And there is a law, an immutable law of the Lord called the law of sowing and reaping. But when you sow freedom, you're going to reap freedom. Amen? So Lord, have your way with us all tonight. In the name of Jesus. And I want to say with the brother doing what they're doing there in Hope City, the Bible said go out and preach the gospel to the poor. Did it? So that's one of the commandments of the Lord. Now the gospel's for everybody who will. And Lord, praise God for enough poor in spirit in every walk of life that will receive His word. But He has a special affinity for those that are poor. And I'm going to tell you something. There's a harvest field in folks that don't have much because they don't have anything. They don't have a choice. We were talking earlier about places all in other places in the world, Africa and Nepal and other places like that. They don't have the options we have in America. And Jesus does a mighty work amongst us and amongst them. He'll do it here too. He's good to us. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for the authority You've given us over all the works of the enemy. We do magnify You. Our focus is on You. You're the great and mighty King. Lord, You have all wisdom and understanding and knowledge. And your word tells us if we lack any wisdom, we can call on you. And you'll give it to us liberally and without reproach. I thank you, Father, for opening the eyes of our understanding, because all the knowledge we gain, no knowledge does us any good unless you, Holy Spirit, open it up so that we can understand. So I ask you, Holy Spirit, sent from above, to open the eyes of all of our understanding here in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, now with that understanding, we need wisdom. So I ask you for wisdom for the saints of God to be able to walk this thing out in the name of Jesus. To walk out in your power and your grace the high calling you have for each person in Christ Jesus. Lord, I ask you for warring angels to be sent into the heavenlies above us to bind the principality assigned even to this city, to the county here, to this ministry in the name of Jesus. I ask you to bind every fallen angel assigned to disrupt what we're going to talk about here tonight in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that they cut off every power source and every silver cord, silver thread to the enemy here in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, if there be any fallen angel on the ground here in our territory, we call them bound. We bind them in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, the strong man is bound in the name of Jesus. I repent for me and everybody in here. And even all of our ancestors and everybody that agrees, say, I agree in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for the blood of the Lamb of God, which I apply to myself, every person in here, and everybody's family. All of our health, relationships, finances, and everything that pertains to us in the name of Jesus. Lord, you are a man of war, and it is a good day to war in Jesus' name. I bind every spirit on the ground here that would hinder in the name of Jesus. I bind the mind-blinding spirits, the heart-blinding spirits, the deaf-dumb spirits, the rejection, the fear, and the anger in the name of Jesus. I also bind skeptical spirits in the name of Jesus. I bind every ancient spirit. I thank you, Father, for the necessary warriors that are here to bind any of these demons that would hinder, resist, the work of the living God here today. Father, I thank you for the anointing that destroys yokes. And I thank you for the anointing that would be on my tongue. Let it be as the pen of a ready writer. Let me stand before the people of God here as an oracle of the living God in Jesus' name. And I thank you for the blood of the Lamb of God and the anointing on the ears of the people of God, the children of the living God, to hear what you would say today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, is anybody surprised at what God did for them this weekend? Has anybody been surprised? Did anybody come kind of going, I don't know about that, bud? Huh? Has the Lord lifted any loads here? Has the Lord opened any eyes? Has the Lord healed any hearts? Well, if He has, give Him some glory.
Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
We have a ministry that we go to, and everybody tells you there as you go into it, it just gets better. And it does with Jesus.
Amen.
So you put your eyes on Him, the author and finisher of your faith, and you never let go. And receive His love and move forward in His grace. Amen? Tonight's subject, rock and roll and the mystery cults. How many used to dabble in that rock and roll?
Yeah.
And I hope it's still used to. Okay?
Yeah.
Because it's dangerous. Your eye gates, your ear gates, eyes are the window of the soul. What you put in your eyes is going to affect the quality of your life. If you came out of drugs, if you came out of alcohol, if you came out of disaster, if you came out of sexual sin, if God is delivering you of that and you dabble in the wrong music, you're going to fall. I'm not prophesying that over you. I'm telling you the truth. All it takes, if you start putting that music, if you start watching things on TV, if you watch witchy stuff on TV, you're going to fall. If you watch sexual stuff on TV, you're going to fall. You've got to guard your heart. The Bible says guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Well, you guard your heart by God, I had to let everybody say, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Hmm? Amen. Okay. We could sing the whole song. And it's a great song, just like Jesus loves me. I say, I'm telling you right now, I've been in the middle of personal deliverances for people and seen battle raging and just stopped in the middle of it and say, let's sing Jesus Loves Me. And watch the enemy be destroyed. Amen? Because he does love us. Rock and roll in the mystery cults. The term mystery cult is used to refer to certain religious organizations. Everybody say this, Father.
Father.
I want to be holy. And I want to be whole.
I
ask you to reveal to me
the truth
that I'm about to be taught.
Every part
that's true,
I want to receive.
In Jesus' name.
I give you permission,
Yahweh,
to reveal the truth to me.
I also reject
anything
from anybody
in advance
that's not of you, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
The
term mystery cult is used to refer to certain religious organizations which flourished in ancient Greece and Rome. Membership in these organizations was closed, with proceedings only open to chosen initiates, and these groups were extremely secretive by nature. Sounds like Freemasonry. It's not where we're going tonight, but that's what it sounds like. Because they're tied to these cults too. Historians have a variety of sources for information to draw upon when researching the mystery cults, including the writings of people who participated in rites and ceremonies associated with these organizations. Both Greece and Rome had state religions, with all members of society participating in the worship of the gods. Greeks and Romans visited temples, held sacrifices, and prayed to the gods both publicly and at home, and most had altars at home for personal worship. For many citizens, the state religion was enough, satisfying the needs for religious faith and practice. For others, however, the state religion felt insufficient or incomplete, and as a result, mystery cults arose. Members of these organizations worshiped specific gods and goddesses, often picking obscure individuals to focus on, rather than the well-known and already well-worshipped individuals. How many know the grass is always greener for people on the other side? Huh? Till you get enough of Jesus. Till you get Him. Can't ever get enough of Him. But once you get Him, and He's truly yours, there's nothing else you would ever want.
Right.
Amen? Some mystery cults even integrated religious figures from other cultures. ISIS, for example. How many ever heard of ISIS? Now, we've heard a lot about an ISIS, which is the Islamic State, but I'm going to tell you that word has a reason that they're called ISIS, okay? You cannot... All of these Middle Eastern gods are all tied together. So whether it be Allah or ISIS or Osiris, or they all go back to Babylon. Yeah, you understand that? Okay. ISIS, for example, was worshipped in Rome. Some famous examples of mystery cults include the Eleusinians, the Diocesan, and the Orphic Mysteries, although numerous other groups existed as well. Other names for the mystery cults included the Mysteria. Mystery, that's where our... When you start really studying some of this stuff, you find a lot of our root words come out of Greek and other religions. Teletai. Backhaul, and orgia, which is where the English term orgy derives from. And the goings on at the ceremonies and parties held by some of these Greco-Roman cults are rather infamous. In addition to holding animal sacrifices, some mystery cults also had lavish meals through elaborate parties and engaged in a range of activities which would have been considered unsavory even by people at the time. Mystery religions were about experience more than dogma or doctrine, with music, dance, drugs, and sex as part of the celebration often carried out at the night season. Sounds like Saturday night at the bar. Now remember, and I'm going to say it again later, but there's nothing new under the sun. Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new. I'm going to paraphrase this, but there's nothing new under the sun. Whatever was will be again. Okay? The mystery and mystery cult comes from the Greek mysterion,
which was used to refer to a secret doctrine or rite. When people join the mysteries, they're forced to go through an initiation, and they were expected to guard the secrets of that organization. People who disclosed secrets from the mysteries could be subjected to severe punishments or public castigation, as the defining feature of a mystery cult was its exclusivity. So revelations about the doings of a mystery cult would have been quite undesirable. The combined allure of secrecy and socially unacceptable activities must have been a strong draw for many mystery cult members. Mystery cult festivals were meant to be life-transforming events in which the initiates fully expected to meet their gods in the flesh, and by historical accounts were not disappointed. I want to say something. A lot of the information I got at this from was I picked up a book called The Secret History of Rock and Roll. And it was a secular book. I mean, we're walking through a bookstore. I don't remember where we were at. So I went to a half-price bookstore and I picked that up and said, well, I'm going to look at this. And then as I was reading it, the Lord was showing me. And He's witnessing to me. And I said, well, look, I'm going to take this and look at it from a biblical viewpoint. Because now I went back and looked, and I found a whole lot of his history and what he wrote from other sources. Okay, because that's what he did. He went out and found the sources. Okay, but this man was talking from a secular viewpoint about how rock and roll concerts changed his life. Life-changing events. How many think those were good for his life? No. Okay. The Greek philosopher Proxius wrote that the gods did not always take human shapes, but would manifest in many forms. Even though most rock and rollers don't have a clue about worship and false gods, the actions involved with the concerts and lifestyles tell the tale. All right, now I want you to understand, the focus of this is mostly rock and roll. But the roots of all of our music come from somewhere. And it's either of the Lord or not. How many know there's no gray area? Everything called Christian is not. Listen to me. Just because it's called Christian music, and I'm not talking about styles or anything else. You test everything by the Spirit of God. He's either in it or He's not. You can often look at the album cover and see. And I'm not cutting down anybody, what they look like, what it is. But when you see it full of pride or meanness, that ain't God. No matter what they're saying. Amen? You got to test everything. It's really easy to test. Holy Spirit, is this for me or not? Is this for me? It's about relation. Everybody say, I'm in relation with the Holy Spirit of God. Because Jesus saved me. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. It's about relationship. Even though most rock and rollers don't have a clue about worshiping false gods, the actions involved with the concerts and the lifestyles tell the tale. The enemy has a counterfeit for all that Yahweh, the living God, does. Look at the following scriptures. Psalm 30-4 says, sing praises to Jehovah, all you saints of His, and give thanks at the memory of His holiness. Psalm 33:3, sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully with shouts of joy. Psalm 149:3, let them praise His name in the dance. Let them sing praises to Him with the timbrel and the harp. Psalm 154 says, praise Him with the timbrel and the dance, and praise Him with the stringed instruments and the pipes. There's power in praise. Both ways. Some of these guys often look at some of these, what they call stars, and you know, the gifting they got, if it would have been used for the king, might have been some of the greatest praise and worship leaders in the right way. Because now listen, they are praise and worship leaders. Yeah. Wrong king. Amen? Now listen at these quotes from other sources. Dancing and music are more pleasing to the gods than rites and prayers. That's from the Natya Shastra, which is a Hindu instructional book. Anybody ever heard of Jim Morrison? Anybody ever heard of him?
Yeah.
The Doors? Well, you can tell by age.
on that. Right? Okay. But he's an old-time rock and roller. Okay? You can go online and see all sorts of quotes that he's made. And some of them are pretty bizarre. He was a messed up individual. But here's what he said. I like to think of the history of rock and roll like a Greek drama. It started out on the threshing floors during the crucial seasons and was originally a band of acolytes dancing and singing. Then one day, a possessed person jumped out of a crowd and started imitating a god. That's pretty telling. Mystery cults tended to be fertility cults, which also involved the death of a god followed by a resurrection coinciding with the natural season. Death as winter sets in, followed by life in the spring. We know that the enemy always wants to imitate the Lord. Counterfeited. One set of mystery cult gods were Egyptian and involved Isis and Osiris, or Esi and Aset in ancient Egyptian. Isis means throne and was known as an Ennead, E-N-N-E-A-D, which was one of the nine major Egyptian gods. Others were Atum, Shu, Tefnut, Geb, Nut, and Nephthys. Atum was the creator god and a solar deity. He was the first god of the Ennead. Geb was an earth god and a member of the Ennead. Isis was the wife of Osiris and the mother of Horus. She was linked with funerary rites, motherhood, protection, and magic. She became a major deity also in the Greek and Roman religions. Just her name changed. Not at first, but later. Then there was Nephthys. She was a member of the Ennead, the consort of Set, who mourned Osiris alongside Isis, and he was a god of night, rain, and death. Nut was a sky goddess, a member of the Ennead. Osiris was the god of death and resurrection, who rules the underworld and enlivens vegetation, the sun god, and deceased souls. Shu was the embodiment of wind or air and a member of the Ennead. And Tefnut was the goddess of moisture and a member of the Ennead as well. There were other major gods. One was called Anubis. He was the god of embalming and the protector of the dead. Another was Horus. He was a major god, usually shown as a falcon or a human child. He was linked with the sky, the sun, kingship, protection, and healing. He's often said to be the son of Osiris and Isis. And the eye of Horus, the all-seeing eye, is a witchcraft term. It is a term of occultism, if you've ever heard of it. But what it is, the eye that allows a human being to see in the spirit realm without God. Drugs do it. Witchcraft does it. You can inherit it. Many false prophet people in the church have the third eye open. And you know, if we see in the Spirit, we're supposed to only see by the Holy Spirit when He wants us to see, where He wants us to see, and when He wants us to see. Amen? We're not supposed to make it happen. But people that make it happen have the third eye open. It can be done. It's not that everybody that snorts a line of coke or smokes a crystal, I mean, when you do that, it opens. But nobody, most people here at least, aren't sitting out saying, I want to get my third eye open. Just happens. Okay? Now we know people. We had a fella come and ask one of our sons. He called and said, this guy's wanting me to open my third eye. We said, no. No. We bind that in Jesus' name. Because people believe that they're going to gain power from that. Ra was the foremost Egyptian sun god. He was involved in the creation, the afterlife. He was the mythological ruler of the gods and the father of every Egyptian king. Set was an ambivalent god. He was characterized by violence, chaos, and strength. He was connected with the desert, heat, and disease, and storms, and sterility, and impotency, and homosexuality. There are over 100 Egyptian gods which have come forth from the major gods. This being said, the following festivals come forth from Isis. If you look at those, they're called pantheons. Means clusters of gods. Okay? The Hindus have a pantheon that they say is in the millions. But they all came forth out of Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu, the Hindu trinity. Okay? So it's the same way with these nine Egyptian gods. They got these other gods, but they were all brought out. So are attached to the beginning set of gods, okay? So Egyptian festivals, that one of them includes the festival of drunkenness,
which was in honor of Sekhmet, a lioness goddess. It is both destructive and violent and capable of warding off disease. Participants traveled to Luxor and engaged in public drunken sex while loud pounding music drove them on. Now, I'm doing this on rock and roll, but I'm going to tell you, I was at a Willie Nelson picnic back in the day. A place I wouldn't go now. I'd have to know that I know no God is sending me. Okay. But I ain't going for fun. Okay? But I was there, and I remember people drunk, partying, and having sex with 50,000 people there around. Nothing new under the sun. The festival of Bast, in which our modern spring break and Mardi Gras closely resemble, floating down the Nile River with rattles and flutes, singing songs and clapping their hands, and they would pass through other towns. The women on the boats would mock the local women and expose their nakedness while dancing lewdly. Sounds a lot like Mardi Gras to me. When they reached their destinations, they would make sacrifices and drink more wine than was consumed in the whole rest of the year. ISIS cults spread into Athens, Delphi, Sicily, Spain, and as far north as Germany and Gaul. Later, with the Romans, this goddess cult would move all over the Western world. On to Europe. There were Samothracian mysteries. They were called cabaroi or cabaret. They were, everyone heard the word cabaret?
Yeah.
Right. Interesting. They were twin gods, or daemones, the Greek word for demons, who presided over these orgiastic dances of the mysteries of the Samothrake, which were performed in honor of the goddess Demeter, Persephone, and Hecate. They all came forth from Isis. They were also famed metalworkers, dwarf-like sons of the god Hephaestus, who served their father at the Lemnian Forge. That's just details of their mythology. Okay? Like their mother, Cabero, the pair were also sea divinities, or marine spirits. How many ever heard of a mermaid? You know what they are? They're demons. They're real. They're mermaid spirits. There's more merman spirits. You got people out here play acting as mermaid, taking on those spirits. You go online, you see them, they got cults, mermaid cults. Still today. They had them on every pirate ship. Okay? You can even look, and I'm just going to say this because there's stuff going to start happening, but you can get online and find where people are testifying they found mermaids for the dead ones for the government hauled them off. Nothing new under the sun. Look, so these things, these beasts and these things weren't men's imaginations. Okay, just know that. They were not men's imaginations. Okay? Things existed. Things existing. Okay. Yes, ma'am?
They have a fossil, a merman here in Hot Springs at the Alligator Park here.
The sister just said they have a fossil of a merman.
With the newspaper article when they first caught it in what country?
With the newspaper article when they first caught it.
China.
Nothing new under the sun. Like their mother, the pair were also sea divinities who protected and came to the aid of sailors in distress. Their ritual dances were performed to loud, thrashing, manic music, with their swords and shield being used as musical instruments, cymbals, drums, flutes, and an outcry while worshiping Electra. By the way, in the Eastern Star, one of the things that they honor is a lady named Electra. Lady's a loose term. Men? You know, like somebody. The Eleusinian mysteries were initiations held every year for the cult of Demeter and Persephone based at Eleusis in ancient Greece. They are the most famous of the secret religious rites in ancient Greece. They were not sexual in nature, but a demonic door opener, nevertheless. A concoction or potion called a kikion was drank, which many scholars believe was a hallucinogenic. Dancers wore headdresses of flaming lamps and passed under hecklers at a bridge called Jest. Anybody ever heard of a jester? Piglets and a black bull were sacrificed. Now imagine, this is going to be a description of this festival. A multitude gathering 2,000 years ago as dust fall, you know, the Lord, when he came, the world was messed up. It's messed up, been messed up since fall, but it's getting increasingly messed up. But I'm telling you, it was, now let me tell you, when the Lord came, he came into a world that was rife with witchcraft, rife with sorcery, rife with these, with the worship of these gods. And guess what? He's coming back into a world that's full of the same thing. Amen? And God, once he comes back, it'll never get that way again. Not like that. As dust falls, thousands of torches blaze under star-strewn skies. Suddenly those gathered are thrust into a frenetic dance. Loud cries punctuate the din of stamping feet. They push and jostle each other amid the tumult and shouting. This kind of reminded me, how many read the, or heard the story just a little while back of the Muslims that stormed, you know, that stomped each other, and there were over 700 of them died in Mecca. Because it went wild while they're trying to get to their shrine they're going to. And over 700 died. How many know that that was a sacrifice made by Satan, a blood sacrifice? That's what it was. The initiates wander and run about in circles over uncertain roads. So much dust rises from this human stampede that from miles away an army mistakes the dust cloud for an opposing army on the march. Almost violently, the initiates try to gain entrance to the great hall of the initiation. Night falls. Suddenly a gong sounds. An enormous burst of fire fills the sky. The initiates experience the most blood-curdling sensations of horror and the enthusiastic ecstasy of joy. Then just before the end, there are all kinds of terrors with shivering, trembling, sweating, and utter amazement. Filled with horror and astonishment, initiates are seized with loneliness and total perplexity. Unable to move a step forward, they were at a loss to find the entrance that leads to where they aspire. Filled with horror and astonishment, initiates able to find their way, thrilled with rapture, a goddess appears. Initiates enter clean and verdant meadows where gentle voices, choric dances, the majesty of sounds and sacred visions surround. Looking down upon the uninitiated and unpurified crowd below in the mud and the fog, trampling itself down and crowded together, the metanoia, or change of heart and conversion that results, leaves the initiates feeling thrice blessed, because only for them is their life, all the rest suffer an evil life. Lot. Aren't you glad we don't have to fight to get to Jesus? You just have to say yes. And you don't have to run through a crowd. Huh? He's come for us. Do you know that the highest level of occultism, they have a term called born again? They call that metanoia, which is that they're changed, but they're not changed into Jesus. Remember, everything the enemy does is a counterfeit of the Lord. There had to be first something from the Lord, because he's not a creator. Revealing the mysteries was considered an act of impiety punishable by death. Diagoras the Melian revealed the secret and acted out the mysteries in the marketplace. The Athenians put a price on his head. 1 talent if he were killed, 2 talents if he were captured alive. A talent was equal to 6,000 drachma, and a single person could live comfortably on 120 drachma a year. A lot of money. There was a dramatist called Aeschylus, which was brought to court because those who attended his plays thought that he was revealing the mysteries. He escaped only because he proved he was never initiated. Some comments on the participants said, within the hall, the mystics were made to experience the most blood-curdling sensations of horror and the most enthusiastic ecstasy of joy. How many know the enemy sows confusion? I came out of the mystery hall feeling like a stranger to myself, said one. There was a bacchanalia, or cult of Diosthenes in Greece. The Diocesan mysteries of mainland Greece and the Roman Empire are thought to have evolved from a more primitive initiatory cult of unknown origin, which had spread throughout the Mediterranean region by the start of the classical Greek period. Its spread was associated with the dissemination of wine, a sacrament, or entheogen, which looks is a hallucinogen, which it always appears to have been closely associated with. Beginning as a simple rite, it evolved quickly within the Greek culture into a popular mystery religion. It absorbed a variety of similar cults and their gods and was typically a Greek synthesis across its territories. One late form was the Orphic Mysteries. However, all stages of this developmental spectrum appear to have continued in parallel throughout the Eastern Mediterranean until late in Greek history and forcible Christianization. In other words, when Christianity, which became a national religion under Rome, everybody say that's not good. You can't just make everybody a Christian by declaring it so. Okay? Over in Denmark, Norway, they're officially Christian nations. Officially. And the government pays for a church in almost every town. And they pay for the ministers. But you don't have to believe in God or Jesus to be a minister. You just got to be able to listen good. It's not good. The rites were based on a seasonal death rebirth thing, as I talked about earlier, and spirit possession. Those Syrian mysteries paralleled the Diocenan, according to the contemporary Greek and Egyptian observers. How many have seen or know of C.S. Lewis's Narnia? Okay. Diocenus is also Bacchus. He's a goat god with a human body. Okay? Got a goat, I mean a human torso. Got a goat body, human torso. The creature in Narnia is this god. Okay? That is not a Christian. It's not Christian. It's occultic. Okay? There's charms. There's spells. Okay? Every kind of fairies. It's occultic. It's got a Christian label. And it's not okay. And it opens the door to the spirit realm, just as if you watched Harry Potter or Twilight or anything else. And I'm not saying C.S. Lewis wouldn't say, I don't know. What I've read and studied on him and Tolkien is that if they were saved, they came out of New Age beliefs. Well, if you came out of New Age beliefs and you weren't delivered, you could theoretically be saved and then be inspired from the devil to write a book that wasn't of God. You hear what I'm saying? Okay? I want to tell you something about our God. He's the Spirit of Truth. He is not the spirit of fantasy. He hates witchcraft. He hates occultism. He loves human beings. He's not going to take something that he hates, an abomination, and use it as an example for you to teach you anything. You hear what I'm saying? So on the basest level, if that's all you knew, that's enough to say something's wrong here. But then the level of witchcraft is incredible. And the level of occultism when you start peeling the layers off that thing. Spirit possession involved liberation from civilization's rules and constraints. How many know if you rebel enough, you'll get a spirit that'll help you not be obedient to anything? It celebrated that which was outside civilized society and a return to a primordial nature, which would later assume mystical overtones. It also involved escape from the socialized personality and ego into an ecstatic, deified state of the primal herd. In this sense, Diocenus was the beast god within, or the unconscious mind of modern psychology. Such activity has been interpreted as fertilizing, invigorating, cathartic, liberating, and transformative. So it's not surprising that many devotees of Diocenus were those on the margins of society. The women, the slaves, the outlaws. Remember, this is a mystery cult. This isn't the religions that everybody was in. Okay? The foreigners, the non-citizens in the Greek democracy, all were equal in a cult that inverted their roles. Similar to the Roman Saturnalia. And Saturnalia is another name for Diocenus and Satan. Although the Greek Diocenan rites were associated with women, the cult officers' titles were of both genders, belying the claim the cult was solely for women. The trance induction central to this cult involved not only chemognosis, which was a chemical, but an invocation of spirit, with the bull roar and communal dancing to drum and pipe, much like modern-day raves. The trances are described in familiar anthropological terms such as characteristic movements, such as the backward head flick found in all trance-inducing cults. found today in Afro-American voodoo and its counterparts. I want to tell you, at this point, there's a spirit called Kundalini, some call it. And it is a spirit that has come through, and it's in the American church. It's in the charismatic church. Okay? Now, listen, I'm not telling you the people that have a spirit don't love God. But you know, you can get to see. How many here love God and had some spirits they came in here with? Huh? Amen? Well, it just depends on what kind. You know, we're looking for the day, we're working this thing out with fear and trembling, walking it out until the day of salvation, of fully the redemption that's coming, okay? But yet, and so some get it in this direction, some get it in that direction, but this kind of spirit causes manifestations within the church that if you went online and look at what yoga spirits look like, Kundalini, you're going to see the same exact manifestations. And when this spirit does it within the church, it can be when the anointing of a God is really being poured out through the music and the ministry and the Lord is being worshipped, and this spirit starts twitching and writhing and doing all sorts of things that aren't God, and the people of God have been fooled into believing that the movements and what they're seeing is God. But it's not God. It's God stirring them up. But it's the spirits manifesting. Kundalini. Double. It's two snakes run up and down the backbone. End up with the heads right here in the neck of a person. And ultimately, anything left alone, you'll go deeper into. The demons you don't deal with are going to deal with you. How many know that to be true? Okay? As in voodoo rites or raves, certain rhythms were associated with the trance. Rhythms are also found preserved in Greek prose referring to the Diocesan rites. This collection of classical quotes describes rites in the Greek countryside and the mountains to which processions were made on feast days. Here's the description. Following the torches as they dipped and swayed in the darkness, they climbed mountain paths with heads thrown back and eyes glazed, dancing to the beat of the drum which stirred their blood. Or they staggered drunkenly in what was known as the Diocesan Gate. In this state of ecstasis or enthusiasmos, ecstasy and enthusiasm, they abandoned themselves, dancing wildly and shouting Iuoi, which was their God's name, and at that moment of intense rapture became identified with the God Himself. You know, one time I was at a football game, okay? It's my son's football game. And I went down to get something from the concession stand, and when I did, our side erupted. And all of a sudden, goosebumps went all over me. You know, kind of like when the presence of the Holy Spirit shows up. And I said, Lord, I don't believe you're cheering because Cold Spring scored a touchdown. So what is this? Okay? What is this? And he told me the spirit was ecstasia, was how I heard it. Okay? Okay? Sometimes. See, the enemy look, he comes as an angel of light. How many know that almost everything he does to you, other than get you mad at somebody, even then you're feeding your flesh. But all of the things that he does, he comes as an angel of the light. And if sin didn't feel good, nobody do it. You hear me? I'm not saying a football game was a sin. I'm just saying that was the spirit released by the people. You hear what I'm saying? And so it makes you feel good. The enemy can put you in an ecstatic state and make you feel like it's the Holy Spirit. And deceive you. People all over the world go into ecstatic states. They've got places in our nation now where people in the church are doing what they call ecstatic prayer. Okay? Gotta be careful. You gotta be careful. I mean, not judgment or criticism of anybody. I'm telling you right now, any of us can be deceived. You hear what I'm saying? But we want to be wise as serpents and harmless as a dove. We want to test. Listen, Lord, is this of you? I learned a long time ago, we did. My wife and I together, as we began to walk, and the Lord began to teach us, and we were in circles where some of this was going on. I could still go in those places without fear. You hear what I'm saying? If the Lord was sending me, if that's where I'm supposed to be, and still love the people, love God. Hey, listen, you're supposed to love your enemies. Okay? But here's the deal. Yahweh, I receive anything from you to have for me, and I utterly refuse every other spirit. And that's why we began to pray. That's how he taught us to pray. We went to a certain ministry in which everybody falls out laughing. Okay? I'm not saying the Lord can't give you some joy. But everybody in the place falls out laughing when this ministry begins. Okay? And how we wanted. So we went. We didn't go with a jaundiced approach. But we went in there and we said, Lord, if this is of you, we receive it. I'm not going to deny you anything you want to do today. But if it's not of you, we don't want it. There's probably 1,500 people in the place. They lay hands on everybody there. Guess how many were standing? Just saying. Don't go get hands laid on you unless the Lord tells you to. Either. You know, I, when we pray up here, I lay hands on everybody. I don't mind that, I'm not scared. This is the Lord's battle. So if I'm supposed to, I do. If I don't, I don't. I listen to Him. If He wants me to bless somebody, I put my hand on their head, I bless them. If He wants me to pray for somebody, and with hands laid on them for their healing, when you lay hands on the sick will recover. But I do it under the unction of the Spirit of God. He's the commander. It's not us. Amen? Everybody say God. I can't do it without you. And you won't do it without me. Amen? Say, I hear my Father's voice. I hear the Good Shepherd's voice. No other spirit will I hearken to. Amen? Say, I want to be identified with Jesus and Jesus alone. People become filled with the spirit of their gods and they acquired divine powers. In Greek mythology, Maenades were the female. How many know the Bible says last days will be signs and wonders in honor of the Lord?
Yeah.
False signs and wonders. Yeah. Even to the point of some fellows calling fire down from heaven. In Greek mythology, Maenades were the female followers of Dionysus and the most significant members of the Phaeacus, the god's retinue. Their name literally translates as raving ones. Anybody ever been high and drunk and raving? Huh? I have. Thank you, Lord. We're delivered from that. Maenades were known as Bassarids, Bacchae, or Bacchantes in Roman mythology after the depiction of the equivalent Roman god Bacchus to wear a Bassarus or foxskin. Remember I told you about Narnia and that god and Dionysus, he's Bacchus as well. Well, those gods were gods of wine, sexual sin, and song. And that's what the children are being entertained in the church. Often the Maenades were portrayed as inspired by Dionysus. And I want to tell you something. When I talk about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, I love the church. I love God's people. I'm not throwing a dart at anybody. Okay? But I pray right now, Lord, that you open the eyes of your people all over this country and all over the world to see the truth. Pour out your spirit in the name of Jesus. Let the gift of discerning between good and evil be given to your people in Jesus' name. Often the Maenades were portrayed as inspired by Dionysus into a state of ecstatic frenzy through a combination of dancing and intoxication. During these rites, the Maenades would dress in the fawn skins and carry a thyrsus, a long stick wrapped in ivy or vine leaves and tipped with a pine cone. They would weave ivy wreaths around their heads or wear a bull helmet in honor of their god. And often, handle or wear snakes while dancing to a flute. In the vilest cases, they were said to have violent sexual encounters. This is between the women with themselves and savagely rip animals to shreds by their hands. When Dionysus entered them, he was said to turn into Hades. Later in Rome, men got involved and began having sex amongst each other and young male slaves, and the Roman government eventually restrained and regulated these rituals. Three gods, Hermes, Hecate, and Apollo. Though not central to the mysteries, these gods were deeply embedded in their traditions. They represent money, magic, and music, respectively. Hermes was the messenger. Say, Lord, I reject Hermes. and his message. In Jesus' name. He was the God who escorted the dead. He was the God of coincidence. How many know that's a lie? There's no coincidence in life. He was also called Mercury or Marcates. M-A-R-C-A-T-S. It's a root word of the word market by the Romans. He was the god of the market. Hecate was the goddess of cattle, magic, ghost, witchcraft, and the underworld. She was identified with Isis and with Sirius, the dog star, and with psychoactive drugs like belladonna, opium, and mandrax. Anybody ever heard the term mandrax? Oh, it's a pill. It was a pill, very popular back in the 80s, okay? 80s and 90s. I don't even know if they still exist. But you'll even see the term mandrake in the Bible if you go back and look at it. It's kind of interesting. You'll find that where Jacob was working on the sheep, Laban, and that he was taken from his father-in-law. Apollo was known for healing, destruction, prophecy, arts, archery, music, and as a ruler over city-states, that would be a principality. He was sweet-tongued. Oh, he's also, just to give you an idea of who Apollo is, the Bible calls him Apollyon, or Abaddon. You'll find him in the book of Revelation. He's guarding the pit right now. Sweet-tongued and divinely dressed, he was known as one who could be appeased by music, as well as one who sang to the gods. Before we go any further, I want to explain to you something. All these names of these gods are names for fallen angels. Okay? Fallen angels. But there are also demons that take on the same name. You hear what I'm saying? So you can have a fallen angel that is Jezebel, and there will be a demon called Jezebel. You can have a fallen angel called Apollo, and there will be a demon called Apollo. And when we started this today, and I began to pray, I asked the Lord to send into the heavenlies, okay, to bind any of those angels, the fallen angels. Okay? And then whatever demons are here on the ground by that name, then I took authority over them. Okay? So you can have a devil called Lucifer, but you're more than likely not occupied by Lucifer. You can have a demon. You hear what I'm saying? You're going to have to bother him a lot to get in. Does that make sense? All right. We use the term the devil or Lucifer, and we say, well, and we bind Satan, and you can bind Satan, but that's a general term. Satan is more than likely reserved for people like the President of the United States and Europe and Putin and all these world leaders get the top level of attraction. You follow me? Jesus got Satan, didn't he?
Yeah.
Okay. He didn't send just any old spirit, did he? He took that. He knew a threat when he saw one. Amen? The Orpheus mysteries, they combined magic and music. They sold amulets and believed men had to be cleansed of sin. Homosexuality, they were full of homosexuality, and they hated women. Goddess was Cybele. Cybele was the mother goddess of Rome. She was at the center of a rather bloody Phrygian cult and was sometimes known as Magna Mater, or the Great Goddess. Mater is the word for mother as well. As part of their worship, priests performed mysterious rites in her honor. A particular note was the sacrifice of a bull performed as part of an initiation into Cybele's cult. The ritual was known as a tarabolium, and during the rite, a candidate for initiation stood in a pit under a floor with a wooden grate. The bull was sacrificed above the grate, and the blood ran through the holes in the wood, showering the initiate. Cybele's lover was Attis, and her A-T-T-I-S, and her jealousy caused him to castrate and kill himself. His blood was the source, according to their legend, of the first violence, and divine intervention allowed Attis to become resurrected by Cybele with some help from Zeus. And you got to remember all these stories or what they believe happened with these gods that they worship. Okay? But what happens? If we study our God, if we fellowship with our God, if we read His Word, are we going to become more like Him? So guess what happens with people that study other gods? That hang around in fellowship with these gods. They do things like them. Right? Thanks to this resurrection story, Sibylle came to be associated with the endless cycle of life, death, and rebirth. In some areas, there is still an annual three-day celebration of Attis' rebirth and Sibylle's power around the time of the spring equinox, and it's called a Hilaria, root word of hilarious. Like Attis, it's said that Sibylle's followers would work themselves into orgiastic frenzies and then ritually castrate themselves. After this, the priests donned women's clothing and assumed female identities. They became known as the Galli, G-A-L-L-A-I. It looks even almost like you could pronounce it Gai. There's nothing new under the sun. They became known as the Gai. In some regions, female priestesses led Sibylle's dedicants and rituals involving ecstatic music, drumming, and dancing. Have anybody ever seen a gay pride parade?
Yeah.
I've seen snippets of it on TV, you know, or on shows exposing it. But that's what, you know, it's men dressed like women, women dressed like men, flaunting, okay? Flaunting, defiant. Lord, save them. They need saving too. They need deliverance. During the Republic and early Empire, festival days were celebrated with eunuchs preceding the goddesses through the streets. They banged cymbals and drums. They wore bright attire and heavy jewelry, and their hair was long and greased. The priests and priestesses were segregated, their activities confined to their temples, and Roman citizens were not allowed to walk in procession with them. Neither were Roman citizens or their slaves allowed to become priests or priestesses in the cult. No native-born Roman citizen was to be allowed to dress in bright colors, beg for alms, walk in the streets with flute players, or worship the goddess in the wild Phrygian ceremonies. They were associated with cross-dressing and gender-bending. Then there were the Corbiantes, the Cures, and the Dactyls. They were the original headbangers. These noise-crazed, mad priests believe performed in full armor, clanging swords and shields in time to the beat of drums and lyre. That was a harp-like instrument. Their songs, they sang to the top of their lungs. Anybody ever heard headbanging wrong? They were probably Nephilim. They were wine drinkers, and they were wizards, and they practiced charms, rites, and mysteries. How about some deliverance? How many participated in rock and roll? I said rock and roll. Okay? But the roots, all tied together. Okay? A lot of this evolved and ended up in Celtic music. And the Celtic music ended up coming to this country. And part of that ended up becoming country music. And part of it ended up going down into the black culture and becoming music in the black culture. Some of it, the Orphic things. And Orpheus is a woe is me cult. Anybody ever heard of the blues? Okay? Now, everybody say, Father.
Father.
If I have any of these in me,
from the music I listen to,
or from what my ancestors listened to, from the dancing I was involved in, I don't want them. I do repent. For me and my ancestors. In Jesus' name. I want to be set free. Now, I read all those to give you some categories. Okay? And there's about 10 of them. And a lot of times I would have taken this and put it together in one prayer. But the Lord told me, and He's quickened me, that each and every one of these needs to be dealt with separately. Okay? So in each one, I'm going to put a prayer up there. And if you'll pray with me, we'll repent. For us and our ancestors, we'll break the unholy soul ties with the artist. We'll deal with that. We'll command the chief demons to come out. And then from that point, I'll tell you to breathe, and I'll start calling them out along with all the other mess that goes with them. Okay? Say, Lord, you've given me authority over all of the power of the enemy to trample on serpents and scorpions. And no thing shall harm me. So I'm looking forward to more freedom now in the name of Jesus. The first group were the Plutonians. Okay? They include Diosinus, Satan. Some of the bands were the Velvet Underground, Black Sabbath, Alice Cooper, Kiss, Nine Inch Nails, Marilyn Manson. If the Lord quickens you, if you're of a younger generation than what I'm talking about now, and anything ties here, if He quickens you to something, say, Father, I hear Your voice. And you know what this applies to. So if there's any other group, any other band that applies in this area, I'm asking you to show me that I might repent and be set free. In Jesus' name.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.